In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, church. I'm thankful all of you have come to celebrate with us. This is not really an easy thing. I know sometimes it looks like, you know, we only work on Sundays, so it looks like it's a cush job. And listening to me, some of you don't think it takes any education, but I want you to know that my Mac has had to go through an extensive education process, a vetting process of looking at his background, a psychological exam, because anybody getting into ministry, they question. And so he has gone through all that and checking with the family as well. And so we want to celebrate that with him. And I'm thankful that you came to do that. I've been asked a couple times just recently, is Mac ready to be a lead pastor here? And my response was no. None of us are ready. And anyone that thinks they're ready will find out very quickly that they're not. But what we believe here is that he may be the lead pastor, but he is not the head of the church, because Christ is the head of the church. And it's the Holy Spirit in us that will lead him and guide him and be faithful to him when he submits to that. And so that is our belief. Last week has been a funny week, but we were all at conference where Mac was actually ordained. What we're doing today, I'm not ordaining him. I don't have anything special on my hands. We're going to lay hands on him. So you can celebrate with us that moment that took place actually in Oregon. But while we were down there, Pastor Ryan, who was here before, in between me, I guess, before me, joined us down there to celebrate with that. And if you know how Ryan is, Ryan and I were talking. It wasn't very long before he was all excited about this book he was reading, which is very, very common to Ryan, if you know anything about Ryan. And the name of the book was Canoeing in the Mountains. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about, Ryan? And he said, no, it's a great book, because what it's about Lewis and Clark's life and about how they were prepared. They were outdoorsmen. They knew what they were doing. They were prepared to go and plot this course, you know, to the ocean. They had experienced the Appalachian Mountains, but they had no idea what the Rockies were going to be like. And he said, the book is all about this premise, that's where we're at today. That no pastor has ever experienced post-COVID church. Really a post-Christian culture like we live in today. And so I ordered the book. I can't tell you if it's a good book or a bad book, but I know this, that when the church was started, no pastor had ever walked into Corinth before with the gospel. When the gospel was proclaimed on that Pentecost Sunday, nobody had prepared them. They had never experienced that. They didn't have any gurus. They didn't have any experts. There was no videos. There was none of that. But what they did have, Mac has, God's Word and the Holy Spirit. So we've been thrown into this crazy kind of environment and this chaos and this stuff where we don't know what tomorrow holds. But we do have one another. We do have God's truth. And we do have His Holy Spirit that will be faithful to us. So I want to encourage you in that. So all I'm going to do, I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to give you a little exhortation. And they didn't give me much time, but I'll take more anyway. 1 Timothy says this. The Apostle Paul has a few times when he says this is a trustworthy saying. And this is one. He says, whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now, if you're familiar with your scriptures, there's elders and deacons and overseers. And a lot of those are really the same position. But overseer is because in an elite pastor position, he has to oversee everything. And then like in Ephesians, it talks about being the pastor, the shepherding aspect of that as well. So there's different titles for all this, but this mantle, this anointing is going to be on Matt for all of that. And it's a noble task. It's not an easy task. And then also in 1 Timothy chapter 5, the Apostle Paul tells us this: the elders who direct the affairs of the church are worthy of double honor, especially those who do the work of preaching and teaching. Do not muzzle the ox while he is treading out the grain. The worker deserves his wages. And so as pastor, I can tell you, it's not so much about the money, but it is beneficial to be respected and honored for what we try to accomplish. And I would exhort you to do that. But I want to give you four things. Number one, you can pray. Regardless of age, where you're at, whether you're infirm, anything, we can all pray. And I can tell you, pastors need prayer. There's so much about ministry that really, until you're in ministry, you don't know anything about. You don't know what it's really like to go home after a hard week and your wife wants to know how your week was and what's going on in the week, and there's things that you can't say because they've been told you in confidence. There's no time card. You can't just say, okay, at 5 o'clock, I'm not going to worry about Bev Warren. I'm not going to worry about my neighbor who just passed away. I'm not going to worry about the funeral that's on Saturday. I'm not going to be concerned about this. It's 5 o'clock. I'm done. Pray. Pray a continued leading by the Holy Spirit. Every pastor needs God's wisdom, not just his own insight or understanding, not his own prudence, own education. Those are all great things. God uses those things. Those are all blessing. But we need wisdom from above, and pray that for him. Discernment that goes along with that. To be able to discern what's going on in culture and what's going on in the life of the family that we call our local family here, and how to navigate that, and who needs to be shepherded and who needs to be exhorted, who needs maybe even be disciplined. Discernment is necessary for that. A boldness in that I told Mac, I try to walk that fine line between truth and grace. Truth of God's word that we're not to use as a sword to hack people to death, that they're not measuring up, but not falling off so much on this side onto grace that God's word has no meaning anymore. Putting them together, because that's how Jesus came, with grace and with truth. And when he does that, God moves among his people. Pray that he is a God people pleaser, not a people pleaser. And that's not always easy. Pray that he hears God's voice. He's not even a Pentecostal, and I'm asking him to hear God's voice. Can I get a testimony? And that always constantly and continually he be led by the Spirit of God. Pray for him. Provide for him an environment of growth. I want to remind you of this, that every one of your favorite pastors, your guy, whoever he or she is, was young at one time. They all had a starting point. They all had a beginning. Be patient with that. Be careful with your comparisons. I remember, I think it was about the second message I preached when I was in OMAC in 1986. And I had somebody bring me a cassette tape, and they said, this is the same text you preached, but it was a really good message. No, I think he meant well, but I didn't really feel encouraged by that. Because it happened to be Charles Swindoll that has all this staff and these people that helped him find all these great illustrations and everything like that, that doesn't do the weddings and the funerals, doesn't meet with the people, doesn't shepherd the people, preaching, a teaching pastor. And it's unfair for you to compare anybody to those kind of people on TV that are in a completely different world than a local pastor that's in the trenches every day. Growth takes time. If you treat Mac like you treated me, then you'll have growth. I had people here that encouraged me. I had people here who rebuked me, both of those I needed. I had people that I could come alongside, and in that iron sharpened iron, I could work things out. I could process things that I didn't understand. I had older men that had gone down the road further than I could, that I could emulate and try to walk in their footsteps. I didn't do it by myself, and I didn't do it just with God. I did it in this environment, this hothouse, this environment right here of people who've loved me and kept me going. Love him enough to care about his well-being. We're very, we want results. We like these metrics. We like the count, the nickels and the noses and different things. And let me just tell you about this, something about ministry that you probably know. When things are going good, it's all about the Holy Spirit and it's about God. We praise God when things are good. When things are bad, guess who gets the heat? Not the Holy Spirit and God. No, the pastor. Care enough to make sure that he's taking the time that he needs. Care enough that if you don't think he's doing something, encourage him or come alongside and help him do it. I've told everybody that's been on staff with me, I don't care if you rust out from not doing anything or you burn out from trying to do everything. Both are out. They're not acceptable. But I can tell you, most people that are pastors have a pastor's heart. It's hard to say no. You want to get more than you have. And so sometimes we need other people that can speak into that. Sometimes, maybe we can get a little bit lazy and we need somebody to come and say hello. Loving. Take time off because that is important. If there's emergencies, but outside of emergency, and this is something, again, I just praise this church. I haven't had to worry about on my days off that I get a flood of calls of things that really aren't crisis. They're the things that we've been dealing with for a long time, or you've been dealing with for a long time, and really don't need to interrupt my time to renew or to be with my family. And so giving that time off, pastors don't work like 9 to 5. We may have office hours and everything like that, but I've always explained it like this. Ministry's like a tide. Sometimes it comes in and you think you're going to drown. Sometimes it's like a slack tide. You're saying, gosh, I got time this week. What's going on? What have I forgot? Sometimes it's a tsunami and you think, I'm not going to survive this. And I've always told, again, the staff people this, when the tide is in and we have to work long hours, or it's the tsunami and we're down for the third time, when the tide goes back out, take some time. Rejuvenate. Spend some time with your God. Spend some time with your family, because you're going to need it. Because the tide's going to come back in. Invest in his future. Be generous, not only with encouragement, but in ways that you can help him become a better pastor. Mac and I had a conversation. I asked Ryan, because Ryan, like myself, has gone to the Holy Lands, and we've also taken sabbaticals and done other things. And so I asked him, what is the most beneficial thing that you've done? A mission trip? Because a mission trip was very significant to me, to see things that you just don't see here, or the Holy Lands. And I asked Ryan that, because he'd done both of those as well. And he's had the same answer as I had. Both. So I think it would be great, church, that sometime, and as you're giving, you're thinking about giving, maybe just mark that and say, this is for Mac's mission trip to Hawaii. No, that's it. But invest in him as you invested in me. Be honest and realistic with your expectations. Newsflash, no pastor's a mind reader. You treat us like we are. You don't know that? Everybody knows that. No, we don't. We're not Google. We're not Matthew Henry. And we're definitely not God. And so if you have an expectation, just like in a marriage, it's a lot better if it's expressed, right? Because those are landmines for pastors. There's enough sacred cows that we bump in and go moo. But to have somebody in the church that says, why aren't you doing that? Well, I didn't know you wanted me to do that. I didn't know that was an expectation that you had of me. Communicate it. And then let him respond on how he feels God would lead him in those things. Be honest. We're supposed to speak the truth in love, right? Be kind as you do that. If you have concerns about him or his ministry or what's going on, then talk to him, not about him. It's always been surprising to me as a pastor that it takes no more time to pray for somebody than it does to be critical of them. But it's easier for us to criticize and talk to other people about them. Did you hear what that knucklehead did? Than it is get on our knees and pray for him. Because the one that can change him, I can tell you what, I'm not ever changed. I've never been changed by people's criticism. What usually does is it irritates me, it hardens my heart, and then I have to go to the wood shop with God and get through that. But what does change me is when people come alongside me and pray for me and saying, that's not a good thing, character quality in a pastor. That's not something I want to see in your life. I'm going to help you and I'm going to pray with you through that. Number three, protect his family. Again, out of Timothy, it says, do not accept an accusation of an elder unless confirmed by two or three witnesses. We live in a time that everybody has an opinion, and unfortunately, they're expressed as well. If they're not spouted off, they are typed and sent over the internet. And a lot of what you hear and see and say is not even true. And like I said in my message last week, we are just all Olympians when it comes to jumping to conclusions. And it has always bothered me, personally, that even somebody who's been a pastor with you for 20 years, somebody can say something and you believe that about somebody rather than believing that's not the person I know. That's not the Mac I know. We say, really? They did that? He did that? Protect them. Their time, as I've already said, their privacy when they need that. And just like don't have unfair expectations of him, it's unfair to have expectations of his family. I'm glad we're past the days where the crystal to pass muster had to be able to teach Sunday school while she played the piano and led the choir. And headed up the potluck. Protect them however they need protection. Participate in their ministry. Not just attendance. Not just giving. Here's a truism. A church, and that's why I say good morning church, a church is only as good as the people who attend it. What are you doing? How are you participating to make this a good church? See, I hear complaints about church. I have my whole ministry through. Complaint, 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 complaint. That always hurts me because, number one, we're the bride of Christ. And to me, it's slander of the very bride of Jesus Christ who died to make this possible. But secondly, that people don't see that who you're complaining about is yourself. This isn't a loving church. Well, are you loving? No, I'm critical. That's my spiritual gift. What are you doing to make this a better church? Are you using the gifts God's given you? That was exhortation for you. Now it's your turn. I've said this. These are just a couple little things of my own. These are my own little trustworthy sayings that have helped me to do ministry. Stephanie knows them. Mac knows them. And one goes like this. People are people and nothing more. And God is God and nothing less. And because He's people and I'm people, we fail. We'll disappoint you sooner or later. But they're people. That's only people. But God, He is God and nothing less. And the second one is this. This may not be the church for you. That doesn't sound like a shepherd's heart. That doesn't sound like very loving. But let me tell you something. It is impossible to please everybody. Because people come to church not always trying to find Jesus or trying to get better and be more Christ-like. They come with their shopping list. I've had people leave this church over the version I preached out of, the fact we didn't have a choir, that I dressed too. I used to wear a suit and a tie or a jacket and a tie. I didn't dress like the culture. I was uppity. Now I'm getting it that I dress like a street person. And my pants are zipped up, which they weren't for the funeral Thursday because my zipper went out. Too much information is read. But here's a decision that every pastor has to make, and unfortunately we sometimes have to make them time and time again. The pastor has to make a decision. Am I going to be like Moses and go up on the mountain, spend time with God and listen to Him and be obedient to Him? Or I'm going to stay down with the people like Aaron, the priest, and build them golden calves? We all want to be liked. We all want to be loved. I think it would hurt any pastor for people to leave because we used to do evaluations, and then the same evaluation I had that I preached Christ too much, and another person said I didn't preach it enough. I'm saying, well, they must have missed that Sunday. Be a Moses. Be yourself, Mac. Don't have to be Chandler or Ryan or myself or anybody else that maybe you respect. That's fine. There's things we can learn from other people, absolutely, and we're thankful for that. But be yourself. Best counsel I ever got. Maybe not for you guys, but for me it was very, very freeing. 1 Corinthians 16 says this, do everything in love. Everything. And that is good counsel. Love God as a part of our mission, and love others. Absolutely. Love and care for your sheep, not just the ones that you have here, but don't worry about the ones that you don't. See, a church isn't like a sports team. It'd be nice. I mean, pastors, sometimes we dream of being able to have like trading cards. Hey, I'll trade you one Sunday school teacher and one usher and even a critical person for just one guitar player, please. It'd be great. But it doesn't work that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says that God will add to the body as He sees fit. So you're not here by accident. God saw that it was right and proper for you to be here and to be assembled here. And He expects you to be here and to be supportive of the ministry. So love the ones you got here. You'll have time enough for the others. Feed God's sheep. Nothing more and better that you can do. Feed them. You just feed them. You can't make them eat. You can't make them get any nourishment out of them. You can't make them grow from it. All you could do is serve the banquet and call them to supper. don't grow weary of doing good. And that's not always easy. One of the reasons that I garden is because I like to see something actually completed. Ministry is a mess. You have some joys when people come to Christ. There's certainly some high points. I'm not saying there isn't, but it's never the end. Until Jesus returns, or maybe you're doing a funeral for a believer, there's no end to that. You can't see the growth that's there. Most of the growing is down below the soil. You don't see what God is doing in the roots. Maybe you see fruit sometimes, but oftentimes it's fleeting. And so you just don't think you're making any difference. It's not doing any good. You preach, you proclaim, you exhort, you encourage, you try to love. And it's hard to see sometimes if there's anything happening out there. And so don't grow weary of doing good. It is happening. And one day we'll not only be away from the penalty of sin, we're going to be away from the presence of sin, and we're going to be with our Heavenly Father. And what He began in all of us, He is going to see to completion and glory. Amen. Look at adversity, which will come. As God's way of refining you. Because pain is always a better instructor. You'll learn more in the valley of the shadow of death than you're going to learn on any mountain peak. So just get in the palm of His hand and let Him rub out those wrinkles. And the sooner you do it, the better off you're going to be. And take the t-shirt that you have seriously. God, family, baseball. Because priorities matter. If you get them messed up, and people do, if you get them messed up, things get messed up. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank You for the family of God that goes well beyond these walls. Lord, we're celebrating around the world today, praising You. Every nation, tribe, and tongue in different ways and different formats and different denominations and in different little community churches. All that find themselves in Christ, grafted in, adopted, children of God, to have all the promises You have in store for them, Lord. And over all those are these overseers and these elders and these pastors and people who are faithful like Mac that You have called. And so once again, Lord, help him to know that You are enough. And that His call is His standing stone when things aren't going well. That He can go back to that standing stone and say, this is where God called me. This is where He placed me. He is enough. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a song, and then I'm going to go through that process of ordination. So stand and we'll sing.